Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and it is Thursday, so our second podcast and second interview of the week. I hope you join me on Tuesday for my interview with Marla J. Hayes, author of Cassidy's Deadly Exit, which is one of the seven novellas in the recently released Tawny Mountain Mystery series. This series was released on Monday, April 16th, and so I was able to speak with two authors from that series over the weekend to have on the podcast this week. The first, of course, was Marla on Tuesday, and now today I am speaking with author R.J. Rossetti about his contribution to this series, Dark Side of the Mountain. In case you haven't yet heard Tuesday's episode, the Tawny Mountain Mystery Series is a collection of seven brand new mysteries from seven award-winning and best-selling authors, all taking place at the same final destination, the Tawny Mountain Resort. Each book in this multi-author series is a standalone novella, and the series can be read in any order. So I read Cassidy's Deadly Exit first, obviously, even though it's listed six out of the seven novellas in the front of the books. And then I read Dark Side of the Mountain second, and it is the second listed in the book. So they, the Tawny Mountain Resort is the creation of author Karen M. Bryson, who used it as a setting in some of her mysteries. And she invited six other authors to collaborate and create this collection of mysteries, of novellas. In so doing, she gave them what both Marla and Randy call the Bible. And that gave descriptions of the resort and Old Town, which is the fictional setting of the resort. It gave descriptions of some of the people who work at the resort, some of the people of Old Town, etc. But the authors really were free to write their own stories. They are standalone novellas. They were able to create characters or bring characters that they had from other mystery series, and they were also able to add to some of the descriptions of the resort or the people at the resort or in Old Town, the only caveat being that they had to add those people or those descriptions to the Bible so that the other authors would have access to them. And as I mentioned on Tuesday, I found this process really fascinating. I mean, it's an interesting way to write an anthology, to bring together a collection of mysteries, just having them set at the same place. And because each author was able to either create characters or bring characters over from an ongoing mystery series, you get this wide range of stories and voices and characters, and it's really interesting, I think. So Dark Side of the Mountain is R.J. Rossetti's contribution to this anthology, and the description of that book is as follows. Katie Douglas thinks doing a mechanical inspection job at the Tawny Mountain Resort is going to be a working vacation. But that's before three young mountain bikers go missing while riding the trails of the mountain and a ransom note is delivered. Partnering with a charming guest of the resort, novelist Casey Malone, Katie soon discovers there is a twisting plot possibly involving the missing men's girlfriends and perhaps even the FBI. When their investigation is complete, is complicated by the discovery of bomb-making material in a cave on the mountain and the threat of an approaching hurricane, Katie and Casey go into overdrive to find the missing men and prevent what could be a devastating attack on an unknown target. As Hurricane Patrick pays a rare visit to inland New Jersey, the story reaches an explosive climax as they and the staff of Tawny Mountain Resort deal with both of these threats. So that is the description of Dark Side of the Mountain. You get a lot of action and adventure, and we get to meet two new characters, Katie and Casey, or Katie and Malone, as they are going to be known going forward, because Randy has already written a second novella featuring these two characters in a different location, not at the Tawny Mountain Resort, but the Katie and Malone series. And that second novella came out on the 16th, along with the collection, the Tawny Mountain Mystery Series. So if you decide you want to read Dark Side of the Mountain and you fall in love with Katie and Casey, or Katie and Malone, then you already have a second book already out. Anyway, that's my quick description of this series, and especially this book. So let's turn now to that interview with author R.J. Rossetti. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the podcast.
Why, thank you very much, Sarah. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. We are here to talk about your book, Dark Side of the Mountain. Before we get to that, though, I would love for my listeners to get to know you a little bit. If you could just share a little something about yourself and your life, that would be great.
All righty. Well, I was born and raised in this part of Ontario, Canada, along the Great Lakes. I've lived in Kentucky for a couple of years, where I got to haul coal out of the Eastern Hills, which is something few people don't know about, and spent a number of years in the long-haul business, traveled all across the U.S., all 48 states, and 8 out of 10 Canadian provinces, and graduated up into dispatch and management, and eventually decided I had enough of that, and my wife and I started a business taking care of buildings in this area here. We currently have a business where we take care of 21 buildings. And it's sort of like semi-retirement, because we have employees that do the work and we just supervise.
Nice. So you have done a lot of driving. You have seen a lot of country in your long-haul truck driving career.
Yep. On the time that I was on the road, I managed to log 2 million miles, and I'm very proud to say that I never had one accident during that whole time.
Wonderful. 2 million miles. Wow, that is impressive.
My travels have helped a lot with my writing. In Dark Side of the Mountain, I was familiar with the entire area that we were writing about in that series. And my second book, it takes place further down the Appalachian Mountains, and again, I was totally familiar with that entire area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've traveled the Bahamas as well. My third book that I'm currently writing now, called Isle of Deceit, takes place in the Bahamas. And my travels come in very handy for giving me background, not just in the territory, but the people, too. Because the one thing is that no matter where you go, people are an awful lot the same. They're nice people. There's nasty people. There's very gracious people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm a people person myself. It's very easy to talk to people. And one of the things I discovered, especially in the Deep South, is how friendly people can be.
So tell us a little bit more about Dark Side of the Mountain.
I got invited to be part of the multi-author series by a good friend of mine, Marla Hayes, who's also one of the writers. Marla and I went together many years ago, and she'd read some of my previous work. And when the publisher, Short on Time Books, was looking for another author to contribute to the series, she asked me if I'd be interested. And I got a hold of Short on Time Books and said, yes, I would be. And they got back to me and said, sure, here's the concept that we're working with here, and see what you can do and see if you can come up with something acceptable. And over a couple months, mainly because I'm sort of semi-retired, I had lots of time to put into it, I managed to come up with that story, Dark Side of the Mountain, and they found it acceptable, and she asked me if I'd like to continue on and write some more, and so they're allowing me to write my own series, which is called Katie and Malone Mysteries, after the two protagonists in Dark Side of the Mountain, Katie Douglas and Casey Malone. And it's just going on. Now, Dark Side of the Mountain itself came to be because Karen Bryson, who's the publisher, came up with what she calls a Bible. And the Bible contains all the information you need to know about the Tawny Mountain Resort, which is in the mythical town of Old Town, New Jersey, up in the Northwest Hills, which is ski country and whatnot. And in the Bible, she outlines what the resort looks like with a complete map and photographs and a map of the town. And she also gives us all the characters from her previous 8 novels that took place in that area that populate the town and the resort. And all we had to do, and it was really quite easy, from my perspective anyway, was to come up with my own characters, my own plot, and a mystery, and have my characters interact with the other people there and solve the mysteries. And because I like doing things a little different, I managed to add two mysteries to it instead of just one. And that made the whole thing work a whole lot better, and from my perspective anyway, and I thoroughly enjoyed writing it. It was probably the easiest writing I've ever undertaken.
Wonderful. So, obviously you had a few parameters in terms of writing in this series. It had to be set at the Tawny Mountain Resort. What was your inspiration for the story and the mysteries that you chose?
Well, actually, it's hard to say that there was one inspiration as far as that goes. I sat down at the computer and stared at the screen like a lot of people do for quite a while, and just started writing. I came up with the two characters' names. Casey Malone's just dropped into my head out of nowhere, and I looked around the room to come up with ideas for the female lead, and I came up with Katie and Douglas. Katie Douglas, good sounding name for the kind of person I wanted. She's a very strong individual, very independent. And I just started writing. And as I wrote, the story almost just sort of wrote itself. And I wrote that entire book from beginning to end in a single draft.
Wow.
I went back, made minor changes and whatnot, and I had a beta reader, my sister, who was probably the most critical person in the world when it comes to that. She doesn't pull any punches at all. And she suggested a few minor little things here and there, and what she said was good, so I went with that. But other than that, the story, as it sits right now, was almost complete in the first draft.
Wow, that's amazing.
Unfortunately, it is that time of the podcast when I jump in here so we can take our first break. But you get the description of the book and you get to know Randy a little bit. He seems like he's led a fascinating life, which is really cool. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about the main characters of this book, Katie Douglas and Casey Malone. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my interview with author R.J. Rossetti about his book, Dark Side of the Mountain. Before the break, we talked a little bit about the book itself and the story, and now we're going to talk more about the main characters and R.J.'s inspiration for those characters, what he likes about those characters, etc. So let's get back to that interview with R.J. Rossetti.
Talk a little bit more about your main characters, Casey and Katie. What about them do you think will resonate with readers?
Well, Katie Douglas, as I said, is a very strong and independent lady. She's an electrical and mechanical engineer who works for her father's firm. And I think a lot of readers like a person like that, you know, like the type that can take the lead, can take a punch if necessary, can certainly give it back if needed, too. And Casey is the perfect foil for her. He's a gentleman. He's the relaxed type. He will go with the flow. He doesn't need to be the macho male type. And the two of them blend very well together that way. And I think their characters will resonate most with people because it might be the way they wish they could interact with other people. You know, like people can get along and actually cooperate and get something done without a whole lot of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that sounds.
No, that sounds nice. They do work well together. In fact, they haven't met before. They meet at the resort and they just kind of click and start talking and get sucked into this mystery. So clearly there's a connection there immediately between them. Are there autobiographical elements in your story or in any of the characters?
Well, yes, there are a little bit, not a huge amount. Like, you notice that Casey seems to be a bit of a traveler and has been to Italy and drank wine on top of the volcano. Well, that's because my wife and I did exactly that last February, a year ago February. We went to Italy and we toured Rome and went down to Pompeii and climbed up Mount Vesuvius, and lo and behold, there was a wine bar. And so that part and some of the other things that he talks about, like I was in the Army for 7 years, so he has a military background as well. So what I could put into that was from personal experience. The places they go, the places they talk about are all places I've been. As far as autobiographical, not 100%, but just a lot of things I know myself went into it. They always say, write what you know, which I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably more of what it is.
Sure. So in terms of writing what you know, in terms of Katie is an engineer. She's there to work on the ski lifts and some of the other equipment. Casey has been in the Army, and then there is a lot of talk about, I don't want to give too much away, but did you do any research for some of the background for the story in terms of like Katie's job or some of the stuff that happens later in the book that I, again, don't want to give away?
I certainly do. I always have my smartphone sitting right to the left here with Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, you know, like a lot of young people today, a lot of new writers may not appreciate what it was like years ago trying to write, where you had to go to an encyclopedia or you had to go down to the library to try to do research.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat out your first draft on a manual typewriter. Not much fun. In my case, it was a Selectric typewriter that actually had a corrector ribbon in it, so I was one up on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But to sit here and be able to hit Google at any one time and say, you know, give me the Spanish word for or whatever, you know, it helps in doing the research part of that. And as far as, you know, like Katie's job and whatnot, I can click on that and say, like, what is this and what is that? Like in the story, there's that fuel truck that gets stolen.
Yes.
I can quickly refer to what's an Army fuel bowser look like.
Yeah.
And one of the specifics, and it's so easy to do that kind of research.
There, you've mentioned that there are other Casey and Katie stories, or what did you say, Douglas? No, Malone and Katie and Malone?
Yeah, I've decided to use Katie and Malone as the name of the series.
Okay.
Because a couple people mentioned that Katie and Casey, the names are too similar.
Right.
I guess after writing the first book, it's a little late to try to change somebody's name. So I have Katie refer to him as Malone quite often, you know, just by the last name, because people do that. Like half my friends say, "Hey, Rosetti."
Yeah.
Or they shorten to, "Hey, Rosie."
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how the name got changed there for the sake of the series name. But, after Dark Side of the Mountain, as I mentioned, I wrote the sequel, Revenge Comes Calling, which continues on with the story from where Dark Side of the Mountain ended. And in this story, the bad people in the first story come looking to get even with them for messing up their plot.
Oh, okay.
And after this story is over, they get to go to the Bahamas as a thank you for all the good things they've done, and they fall into mysteries there. And after that, it comes Murder on the Mountaineer, which they're going to be going out to the Canadian Rockies to attend a symposium, and they take a ride on the Mountaineer, which is a famous train that goes through the mountains, and they get involved in a murder mystery there. So I've got several planned that, you know, like I've got two written and one just about finished, and two more in the development stage. My wife and I are going to Iceland in September.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the next one after Murder on the Mountaineer is going to take place, is in Iceland. So we'll have some firsthand knowledge of what goes on there.
Do you have release dates for the two that are finished?
Well, I sure do. It's tomorrow. Yeah, they're both available in paperback today. The entire Tawny Mountain series of seven books is being officially released tomorrow. And one of the things that the publisher asked me when they offered to allow me to start my own series is, could I get the first one done in time to be released with this series. And I said, I certainly can, which I did. And it gets released tomorrow as well.
That's awesome. Congratulations. And are the two that you've just written, are they also novella length or are they full-length novels?
They're novellas, yeah. Yeah, first one, Dark Side of the Mountain, runs to about 33,000 words, and Revenge Comes Calling is about 42,000.
Okay, thank you. Do you have an idea for how many books you'd like in this series, or is it just going to be ongoing as stories come to you?
It's just going to be ongoing until I get tired of Katie and Malone, which at the moment I can't imagine that happening, but you never know.
Right, right. Thanks. So talk a little bit more about the Tawny Mountain Mysteries. What was it like to work in this kind of collaborative environment?
Well, it was really quite different for me because I've always, just written on my own and whatnot. And to have a process like this was certainly, it was very helpful to have the Bible I mentioned before there that Karen wrote up for us.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as collaborating, there's no direct collaboration. Each author wrote their own standalone novella. There was just certain parameters you had to be aware of. You had to stay within the parameters that she had in the Bible. And if you're going to introduce any new main characters in town, you had to add it to the Bible so everybody else was aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you thought perhaps you might like to have a lodge on top of the mountain, she could add that to the Bible so the others were aware that was there too.
Okay.
And other than that, primarily we worked on our own for our own story, and we could use characters that we already had from another series or develop new characters, which in my case, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of characters that are in your story that are also in Marla's story. I talked to Marla yesterday. Did you and Marla ever talk about kind of personalities for those characters, or did you solely rely on the Bible?
Well, we relied on the Bible as far as that goes. We never really discussed a lot of things there, and that's one of the things I scratched my head about, because we had an idea of the personality of each of their characters, because in the Bible, she used a picture of a well-known actor or actress. So you'd say, well, yeah, I know how this guy Dwayne Johnson is. And so he represents Tico Bay, the police officer,
mm-hmm.
and the security guy and police officer, I should say. Did I have him act the same way that Marla did or the same way that Karen did? I don't know that. And the same with the other characters, like Mr. Wilson, the security guy, and the manager. Did I have them just write the same way the other people did? Or are people going to go from book to book and say, well, gee, did she ever change character fast?
Right.
So that is one possible pitfall, but I guess that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Jumping in here again for our second break of the podcast. As I have said before, I did find this process fascinating, so I ask a lot of nosy questions about what it was like to write like this. When we come back, Randy will be talking about some of the pros and cons about writing in this collaborative way, so stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'm speaking today with author R.J. Rossetti about his contribution to the Tawny Mountain Mystery Series. His book is called Dark Side of the Mountain, and let's get to the conclusion of that interview. Did you find, were there any pros or cons to this type of writing?
I can't really say for sure there's anything specific as far as that goes. Again, because we're allowed to be completely on our own and independent writing standalone books, so it's about the same as writing a novel of your own, only you have a lot of information already developed for you. So it made developing your own character and your own plot and the storyline a lot easier and a lot quicker because you had so much background to go on. And the con, I say, would be probably just what I mentioned before, because we all have common characters in the town and in the resort, do we have some conflict there? Like, is he a real nice guy in one and a real bugger in the other, you know?
Right. I would think that would be a little complicated. You mentioned before about, you know, doing research with libraries and typing on a typewriter. So it sounds like you've been writing for a while. Is it something that you always wanted to do?
Boy, I can tell you that. And that's actually, this is a cautionary tale I'd like to give to other young people out there that are just finishing their education. When I was in grade school and high school, all I wanted to do was write. I wrote short stories. I contributed to the newspaper. I wrote poetry nonstop. And I really, all I wanted to do was be a writer. And at the end of high school, we were looking at different universities and whatnot. And I went to see the guidance counselor, and I said, I really want to be a writer. What should I take? And he looked at me like I was from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at my file, and he said, look at your scores in math and sciences. You don't want to be a writer. You want to be an engineer. I said, no, I don't. I want to be a writer.
Oh, wow.
No, you don't. He said, there's no market for writers. What are you talking about? They need engineers. Go to Queen's University and study engineering. I walked out of there so frustrated, I never went to university at that point. I decided to take a year off and think of it. I applied to three universities, and I was accepted in engineering every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to be an engineer. I wanted to be a writer. So life goes on. I ended up getting married shortly after I should have been going to university, and along come child number one, then child number two, and child number three. And soon, locked in the world of having to make a living and support a family and whatnot. And the winter of 83, I finally got the idea of maybe I'm going to try to write a book. And I wrote my very first book, first full-length novel, called The Grassy Falls Dragon Slayers. And I happened, by good fortune, to live in the town of Richmond Hill, just north of Toronto, and that's where Scholastics Canada has their head office in Canada. And I just wandered right on down and walked in and plopped my manuscript down on the desk. And I said, can I speak to the acquisitions editor?
Wow.
And she came out and sat down with me, very nice lady. And she took my manuscript and said she'd get back to me. And a couple weeks later, I got a letter from her with the manuscripts and said, here's some points that you need to try to work out and to make this work better for you. But by all means, send it back to me. And so I worked diligently for the next month or two, getting it just the way she said she wanted it to be. And I took it back down there, and she'd left and gone somewhere else.
Oh, no.
And the new acquisitions editor looked at it and said, no, I don't think this is anything we're interested in. And I just about cried.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so anyway, time goes on, and I was coming north out of Virginia one day, around Fort Chiswell. And I was listening to the radio, and Elton John's tribute to Princess Diana came on, the song Candle in the Wind. And as I was driving up the highway, I got thinking about that, like, is it possible that any monarch could stay in power if they didn't have all the money and resources behind them? And by the time I got home, I had the book figured out, and I sat down, and in 30 hours, I finished my second book, a full-length novel called The Pauper King.
Wow.
And I sent that out to everybody and their dog, and they all came back saying, thanks, but no thanks.
Mm.
Now, in those days, of course, we didn't have electronic media like you do today. And writers were hard put to get things out because the manuscripts and the query letters, everything was in paper. It had to be mailed with self-addressed mail. And you waited forever to get an answer back. Sometimes you did, sometimes you didn't. Then along come computers, which certainly made the writing part a whole lot easier than beating things out in a typewriter and have to tear paper out and put paper back in and do it all over again. But at the same time, it made submitting to agents and publishers by email just like magic. Away it went. And unfortunately, that made it easy for a million other writers to do the very same thing. So
Right. There's
no doubt, sure, every agent wakes up in the morning and turns on their computer and there's 1,000 emails and 1,000 query letters. And so it makes it even harder now to get noticed. And so time goes on again, giving you my whole life history here.
Go ahead.
It was almost like out of anger, I said, I'm going to write a dark novel. And so I came up with the idea, one that takes place locally here, and it's going to be murder and mayhem and just all the nastiness in the world. And I got through the thing, and I let my sister read it, and she said, are you crazy? I said, nobody's going with this. I said, okay, should I tone some of it down? She said, yeah, about half of it. So I toned it down. And the novel was entitled The Hornet's Nest, or A Hornet's Nest, I should say. And it went out again to everybody and the dog, and it got noticed by an agent called Marissa Corvisiero, who now has her own agency in New York. And she agreed to have a look at it. And one of her people that work with her, anyway, Stacy Donaghy, read it. And liked it, but didn't think it was anything they really wanted.
Mm.
And they sent it back to me again. In the meantime, Stacy has opened her own agency in Aurora, Ontario, just north of Toronto. And I've commuted there, talked to her a few times and whatnot, but haven't really gotten anywhere. So there last September when I heard from Marla, and Marla said, how would you like to do this? You can understand why I jumped for joy.
Oh, absolutely.
Because after all those years and trying and trying and trying, and to have somebody say, how would you like to write something for me? Like, holy mackerel.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a really great story, but definitely illustrates the ups and downs of trying to be a writer.
Yeah, the one thing I could say to any new writer, it's a matter of persistence.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay at it. And one of my greatest inspirations that way was Margaret Mitchell. When she wrote Gone with the Wind, which was my mother's favorite movie, she got rejected 29 times before somebody even agreed to read it.
Yeah.
And so, like, if somebody of that stature gets rejected that often, that is persistent and sticks to it, that tells you that if you want to be a writer, you got to do the same thing. And in today's crowded marketplace, you know, it's like whether it's the query letter or whatever, or just going to every symposium you can think of and truly doing anything to get noticed, you just have to keep at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not take the rejections too personally, I would think.
Oh, you can't take anything personally. And one thing I can say, that a lot of the rejection letters I got, particularly the one from Stacy Donaghy, she went out of her way, like you wouldn't believe, and wrote points about here's what you need to do. And the feedback was very, very helpful, not only in trying to make that book better, but realizing, okay, maybe I do have something. I just got to get it out there somehow. Come at it at a different angle, write something different, try to find my own niche. And the thing that this series has done for me, it's told me this is the kind of writing I want to do.
Yeah.
The other three books, the first one was written for kids. The second one was a medieval fantasy. The third one was like a film noir type thing. And all three of them weren't really me. This type of writing is me.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a favorite thing about writing?
A favorite thing?
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you love about writing?
Well, absolutely. You get lost in your own little world. When I write, I have to be in a very quiet spot where I've got all the time in the world. I don't have anything I have to rush off and do. And I just get lost in it. And that's such a wonderful feeling when you write in the story that you're writing. That's my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm. How about a least favorite thing?
Least favorite thing is not having time to do it. When you are rushed, like writing comes in spurts, you might say. Like, you can have a day, I'm sure you've heard people talk about writer's block. You'll sit there and stare at the screen, and you're looking at what you previously read, or wrote, I should say, and you read it over again, and you look at the screen, and you try to come up with something, and it just doesn't click. And you'll have other days when you're just coming out of you, just you can't type fast enough. And I'm a pretty good typer, but sometimes I get finger-tied just trying to get out quick enough as my thoughts are coming to me. And then Wendy calls downstairs and says, hey, we got to go now.
No, 5 more minutes.
Yeah, when reality cuts into the writing process, that's probably my least favorite thing.
Sure. Do you have a system for jotting down ideas when they come? Do you keep a notebook or do you do it on your smartphone? How do you do that?
Well, yeah, I keep a notebook primarily because I've forgotten how many times I've said, there's a great idea, I'll write that down later. And I forgot what the idea was.
Yes. Yeah, I totally understand that. Do you like to read? And if so, what authors and genres do you like to read?
Oh, I read just about anything and everything. When a popular book that sounds like it has an excellent idea, like right now I'm reading the 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson, a fascinating book. Previous to that, I was attracted to a couple books written by Charlie Lovett. The first one, Lost Book of the Grail, that was it. I just had to dig a little bit here. And the second one was called The Bookman's Tale, which they're both kind of mysteries and whatnot, but they're fascinating reading. Stephen King has always been a favorite of mine. Some people look at me and say, Stephen King? I say, yeah, Stephen King, what's wrong with it?
Yeah, he's a great writer.
I loved his writing, and one of the most inspiring books I ever read is his book called On Writing.
Mm-hmm.
His background story about how we got into it and whatnot and the trials and tribulations, and a lot of good material as to how to go about doing what it is we do. And so I've got a collection of his that's just absolutely gigantic as far as that goes. And other than that, fiction of any sort, when I was a kid, it was science fiction, just nonstop, you know, whether it was Arthur C. Clarke or whoever, just all the good ones. And as far as one particular genre, I can't say because I'll read virtually right across the spectrum. When I was in Brownsville, Texas, many years ago, I had time to kill, and I went into a mall, and there was this book there called Harry Potter. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. I said, well. Actually, in the U.S., it's called the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I picked that up, and I bought it, and I took it back, and I was absolutely fascinated by it. So eventually I read the entire series, saw all the movies, and great entertainment. You can't tell me that's kids' books, because it's not.
Right.
I'm a big kid, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Me too. Yes, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on the internet and social media?
Well, absolutely. On Facebook, I have my author's page, which is R.J. Rossetti Author. And my personal page is just Randy Rossetti, and I'll communicate with anybody as far as that goes. And on Twitter, I'm at Paxus King, PAXUSKING.
And what's the story behind that?
Well, King Paxus is the main character in my book, The Pauper King.
Oh, okay.
And I just finished that when Twitter came to be, so I figured, well, I'll go on Twitter and I'll use that as a handle. And they said, it's already taken. I said, get out of here. Already taken. So I just reversed the two words to Paxus King.
That's crazy that it was already taken. Do you have a website?
No, I don't. You know, I really should. And that's just one of those things I just have not gotten around to doing yet. I will eventually, but not just yet.
Okay, not a problem. Your books come out tomorrow, April 16th. Congratulations. Where can people find those?
On Amazon. In the States, of course, it's Amazon.com. In Canada, it's Amazon.ca. And they can look at for either Tawny Mountain Mysteries and see the entire series, or they can search for me as an author, R.J. Rossetti. And you'll see my page, which will have all 5 of my books on it. Or they could search for Katie and Malone Mysteries, which would take them to Revenge Comes Calling. But tomorrow the big push is for Tawny Mountain Mysteries, because that's the series that got me into this. And the 7 of us are all riding on the same rail as far as that goes. So we're sure hoping things go off well tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exciting. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to just get out there about writing or your books or anything that we haven't talked about?
Boy, I can't think of anything more. We've sort of been around the daisy chain here pretty good. One thing I guess I could say is that I sure hope that this stuff works, because this is where I see my retirement going. I'm not the kind of person that could retire, because I would go nuts if I just retired. And having writing as a second career, which I wish had been my first career, you know, they do say that it's never too late to be what you could have been. And I guess perhaps what I want to do is to be the epitome of that saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you all of the luck with that. And I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to talk to me about your book. As we said, it comes out tomorrow with the other six of the Tawny Mountain mysteries. So check out not only Dark Side of the Mountain, but all of the seven stories in that series. Thank you so much, Randy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you for letting me talk to you.
No, you're welcome.
Thank you once again to Randy, author R.J. Rossetti, for taking the time to speak with me today. You know, I always appreciate the authors who come onto the podcast to talk about what they clearly love, which is writing and their novels. And I love reading those novels, so it works out really, really well. Thank you to Randy, and thank you to you, as always, my listeners, for tuning in. If you are intrigued by the Tawny Mountain Mystery Series and you would like to read Dark Side of the Mountain, you are in luck, because this is another one of our giveaways. Randy has given me three books to give away, and so just as a reminder for how you can enter those giveaways, it's all about the social media. Just go on to one of our social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and those links are in the show description. They're also on our website. They are also in the blog post that accompanies this episode, and that's at www.gsmcbookreview.blogspot.com. So go on to Facebook and share this episode. It's episode 74. It's episode 75. Clearly I can't count. If you go onto Twitter, you just need to retweet. And if you go onto Instagram, you can comment on that episode. So it's episode 75 on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Share, retweet, or comment, and you'll be entered into the giveaway for a chance to win a copy of Dark Side of the Mountain by R.J. Rossetti. It's a lot of fun. There's action. There's intrigue. There's, of course, a mystery. There's, you know, all kinds of things happening. And there's, as Randy said, there's two mysteries. So not exactly a mystery within a mystery, but maybe you could call them parallel mysteries. I'm not sure what you would call them, but they're a lot of fun. And Katie and Casey are, they're a fun couple. They, you know, they don't know each other beforehand, but they meet and they form this partnership and start kind of nosing around like good sleuths do, good amateur sleuths do, and find out all sorts of interesting things. So you should definitely check out this book, and you should definitely enter to win a copy of it. As always, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you will join me next week on Tuesday, when I will be interviewing author Michelle Hazen about her book, A Cruel Kind of Beautiful. So that's Tuesday's episode, and I hope to see you there. In the meantime, go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.